Okay. There's just one hosafa that I wanted to add from yesterday. I forgot to mention it yesterday. On Amud Aleph, the Gemara had said that a man is allowed to wear a ring with a signet, even though, if you think about it, he can't use that signet on Shabbos at all, because he can't engage in business, he can't sign documents, but the Gemara still holds he's allowed to wear such a ring. It's considered normal for him, and it's mutter. Based on that, Rav Moshe Feinstein had held that it's mutter to wear a wristwatch on Shabbos. So a wristwatch is no different than a signet. Now, as a matter of fact, the wristwatch doesn't involve any issur malach at all. The Mishnah Berurah does say that a pocket watch can't be worn. He says you can't have a pocket watch because then you're carrying it. And then at the end of the tshuva, Moshe says, he says, I cannot answer it. It's no different than a ring. He does say that a Yorish Shemayim should not wear one. We're only talking about a place where there is no Eruv. A Yorish Shemayim should not wear one so as not to be confused between a wristwatch and having the, if you put, between a pocket watch, and if you put the wristwatch on your pants, let's say you put it through one of the loops, that would be a problem. So to avoid running into any potential problems, he says the Yorish Shemayim shouldn't wear it at all. But Me'ikar Adin, he does matter it, and it's based on yesterday's Gemara. Okay. So up to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Lo yeitzei ha'ish, a person can't go out, a man can't go out, Lo b'sayef, not with a sword, V'lo b'keshes, not with a bow, V'lo b'tris, not with a shield, V'lo ba'ala, and not with a mace. The Gemara is going to say that means a mace. It's a Rashi says a ball with spikes on the end of the ball. V'lo b'romach, and not with a spear. V'yim yatza, and if you did go out, Chayev chatas, yichayev chatas. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Rabbi Eliezer argues, and he says no. Tachshitin hein lo. These are tachshitin. These are no different than any other tachshit a man will wear. And it's and like we've been saying all along, tachshitin are not a problem for a man, because a man won't take them off to show them to his friend. The chacham say, ein on el ganai. Now, he doesn't argue, he's not a third cheetah. He agrees with the Tana Kama. Nobody wears weapons as an ornament. They're only worn if you have to go to battle. That's a gnai. That's not something somebody does with chatchila, and therefore, it is considered a matzui, and it would be considered carrying on Shabbos. Shenemar, because it says in the famous pasuk in Yeshaya, v'chidchu charbosam li'itim, and the plowshares swords will be beaten into plowshares. V'chanisosehem le'mizmoros, and the spears will be turned into threshing instruments. V'lo yisa goy al goy cherev, no nation will lift up a sword against the other. V'lo yilmadu old milchama, and there'll no longer be any war. So you see that that weapons are not inherently a tachshit, just the opposite. In the future, there won't be weapons anymore. If there won't be weapons anymore, it can't be considered a tachshit. There'll still be jewelry in the future. Weapons there won't be. So you see from here that weapons is only a gnai, and therefore it's only a matzui, and therefore you can't carry them on Shabbos. Biris we had already, I think it was on Shabbos. Biris on Sunday. Biris are the garters which hold up women's stockings. So those are tahora. That's tahora. The yotzin baba Shabbos, and they're allowed to wear them out on Shabbos, as we explained. They're never going to take that off to show anybody because it will be a breach of tznius. And kvalim we're going to explain are two garters, one attached to each leg with a chain in between. And we'll have an amud beis why a woman would wear that. Anyway, that's Tameyim. The gold chain is Tamei. And the Ein Yotin Behen B'Shabbos. And that cannot be worn on Shabbos. Because somehow they could unfasten that. And it was made out of gold. It was fancy. They could unfasten that and show that off. So that's us in the Midrabanan. They can't wear it on Shabbos.
The other question is they suggest the Rabbanan to wear the helmet.
Right. So the helmet and the armor, that was considered only us in the Midrabanan. And here it's us in the Midaraisa. Right, they both were, but these are really weapons. That wasn't really weapons. That was all the other, a helmet, armor, and armor for shoes. I guess there's a distinction on the level of a weapon that it is. Yeah. Right.
Is it because it's muksa, or because it can carry?
No, it has nothing to do with muksa. It's only because it's not considered a tachshit. So if it's not considered a tachshit, then what is it?
It's there, you can actually use these items.
Right, to have a purpose. Right, so Rav Moshe Feinstein, based on this, what comes down later, this is the Gemara that Rav Moshe Feinstein uses to matir the Chevra Hatzalah from wearing radios and walkie-talkies. He has a whole, it's a very long tshuva, and I looked at it last night, it goes on for pages and pages, but this Gemara is in there somehow, differentiating between what's a tachshit and what's a malbush, and he ends up saying that if they wouldn't be able to use it, it's also part of the Hatzalah's Nefashos, because if they wouldn't be able to carry it around, they wouldn't be able to leave the house, because then people won't hear the call, and then people won't get saved. But this Gemara about what's considered a weapon is the main basis that Rav Moshe uses to matir Hatzala radios on Shabbos. But you're right, it's not an issue of muksa at all. It has nothing to do with muksa. So the Gemara says, "My ba'Allah, what's an Allah? Kulfa, it's a mace." Rabbi Elazar Omer Takshitin Hainlo. They're Takshitin. There's nothing wrong with wearing them on Shabbos. Tanya, we have a brayso that says as follows: Amru lo Rabbi Eliezer. They said to Eliezer, "V'chim yachshe de Takshitin Hainlo. If they are Takshitin according to you, so mipnei ma hain b'teilin limos haMashiach. So then, why are they going to become batel limos haMashiach? If they're Takshitin, so they're jewelry, it's ornaments." Right, the pasuk in Yeshaya says that in the future they're going to be bottle. Why are they going to be bottle? Amalahen, so he answered back, "Lefisha einan tzrichim." Oh, because they're not going to be needed. Certainly not going to be needed for Jewish people. Maybe goyim will still have war, but not Jews. So what are they needed for? Shneamar, because it says, "Lo yisa goyel goy becherev." Right, no one's going to lift off swords. So, but that just begs the question: for to have Illinois ba'alma, so they're still ornament, they're still pretty according to you. It's still something that you want to wear. Amar Abaye said, "No, midi dahavi ashraga b'tihara." It's like carrying a candle in broad daylight. Carry a candle in broad daylight. You look ridiculous. Because what do you need a candle for? It's broad daylight. So too, wearing weapons in the future, it's going to look ridiculous. You're right. It is a takshit, but it's going to look ridiculous. Upligi de Shmuel. That brayso that we just mentioned argues on Shmuel. To Amar Shmuel, Shmuel said, "Ein bein ha'olam hazeh liyimos haMashiach el shiva malchi shiva goliyos bilvad." The only difference between Yimos haMashiach and today is the fact that there will no longer be shibud malchios, the shibud goliyos. The Jewish people will no longer be subject to other rulers. We will have our own independence and our own freedom. And Tosfos points out, we'll also have the Beit Hamikdash, and we'll also have Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael back. That's all included in what's going to change. But other things, Shenamar, because it says in the pasuk in Devarim, "Ki lo yechdal evyon mikarev aretz." There'll never be poverty that will cease. So people are going to still be poor. There's still going to be war. There's still going to be everything. Nothing's changing. But the only thing that's going to change is the Jewish people are no longer going to be subject to the other nations. So first of all, how can Shmuel argue on a brisa? The brisa said that there will be nothing in the future. Well, we're going to get to the pasuk in a minute. But the brisa said that there isn't going to be. And Shmuel comes along and says, "I argue. I say that there's not. Yimos haMashiach is no different than today." So some say either this brisa was not authenticated, so he was allowed to argue on it. Others say he had some Tannaic support to support him somewhere. Anyway, if you hold that in the future there won't be any more weapons, then you hold that somehow Olam Haba, or that Yimos haMashiach will be different. Now we're going to have, like, right there, Messiah Leil Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. The first brisa that said that in the future carrying a weapon is like carrying a candle in broad daylight. It's a useless endeavor. The Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Kol Hanaviim Lo Nisnabu Elo Liyimos HaMashiach. All the Naviim that all gave all these wonderful prophecies about how everything in life is going to be different and there won't be any more weapons, that's all Yimos HaMashiach. Avo LaOlam Haba. But another stage of existence called Olam Haba, that Ayin Lo Ra saw Elokim Zulasecha. Nobody saw that except for Hashem. Nobody can even fathom what that's going to be. And Shmuel holds that no, Yimos HaMashiach is going to be the same. The only thing that will be different is Shibud Goliath. And Olam Haba, whatever that means, in some future date, that is what all the Pesukim are referring to. So Shmuel's not arguing on the puzzle. He just holds that it'll apply to a later stage. The Igadi Amri, others say that it's just the same discussion, but different people holding different things. Amru lo Rabbi Eliezer, v'chimei acher de takshitin hein lo. Now that you hold that these weapons are takshitin, so mipnei ma hein b'teil liyimos haMashiach, why are they going to become batel in the future? Amar lahen, after Yimos haMashiach, ein b'teil. No, they're not going to become batel in the future. They're going to still be necessary. Hainu de Shmuel. That's like what Shmuel said. Right? Because Shmuel said that in the future nothing's going to change except for the fact that we're not going to be subject to the nations. But there's still going to be weapons around, there's still going to be wars. And that disagrees with Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. And that disagrees with Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. Fine. Amalei Abaya l'Rav Dimi, v'Amri la l'Rav Avya, v'Amri la Rav Yosef l'Rav Dimi, v'Amri la Rav Avya, sorry. Yeah, v'Amri la Rav Avya, v'Amri la Abaya l'Rav Yosef, fine. My time at Rabbi Eliezer. What is the reason that Rabbi Eliezer holds that these weapons are still going to be Tachshitim? Where do you get that from? The Amar, because it says in the Pasuk, the Amar Tachshitim Hein Lo, the weapons are Tachshitim. Where do you get that from? The Ksiv, because it says in Tehillim, Chagor Charbecha Al Yerech, hold your sword next to your thigh, Gibor, to be mighty, Hodcha V'Hadarecha, that's your glory and that's your glory. So having a sword is a status. It shows that you're a person of might and you're a person of glory, and therefore it's a tashit, it's an ornament. So Amalei Rav Kahana Lamar Bered Rav Huna, Haibadivrei Torah Ksiv. That pasuk is an allegory about learning Torah. And Rashi explains that when you learn Torah, you should have the answers right by your side. You should be so fluent in Torah that when anyone asks you a question, you're able to draw out the answer as fast as somebody could draw out a sword. And that's the real hod and hador of a person. That's what the pasuk means. So Amalei, that might be what the allegory of the pasuk is, but ein mikra yotze midei pshuto. You still have to have pasha pshat of a pasuk. Pasuk still has to be on its surface, has to make sense. This is a huge discussion because there are some psukim in the Torah that on its face are probably not learned in a pasha pshat at all. So as that, there are three famous ones. One is listen to Ivri lo titei mikshol. Some Rishonim hold that if you put a stumbling block down in front of a blind man, you're not chayiv midaraisa for the avera of lifnei iver lo titei mikshol. You're only chayiv midaraisa if you give somebody bad advice, as Rashi says over there in Kedoshim, in something that he is not a, he's an iver in. He's considered blind in that issue, and he asks somebody for advice, and they give him wrong advice on purpose. But if you put a stumbling block, but the pasuk talks about putting a stumbling block in front of a blind man. That's a pasher pshat. So the Malbim says that since the pasuk uses the word lifnei iver lo sitein, you don't give a something in public. It should have said lo sasher. Don't put it there. Since it says lo sitein, that is pasher. The pasher pshat is only talking about advice. You might midrabanan, maybe you'll be over if you put a stumbling block in front of a blind man. But midaraisa, that is the pasher pshat. The second one is by yibum. The pasuk there says that the bechor will do yibum. And the Gemara says it doesn't mean a Bukhar, it means any of the brothers. It doesn't necessarily mean the Bukhar. It doesn't have to be the Bukhar. So I think the Ramban there said that the Gemara there bases that on the Gzeirah Shava, and the Gzeirah Shava could sometimes trump the Pasha, the plain meaning of the Pasuk. And the last one is Ayin Tachas Ayin. It says an eye for an eye, and we hold it's Bedafka does not mean an eye for an eye. Right? So I saw the Gemara itself says that it can't mean an eye for an eye, it can't mean pashut, because how can you ever evaluate that it's going to be an equal exchange? How can poking, right, if someone's eye gets knocked out, so how can you determine that doing the other guy's will be equal damage, equal justice? Someone's eye, there'll be an extra veins and extra arteries that will be, and it'll be a worse or lesser. So it's impossible to evaluate and make it always fair. So that begs the question, so why did it say it that way? So I once saw the Brisker Rav said it that way because that's min hashamayim, and that's what it should be. In other words, treating someone else's property is so severe, ruining someone else's body is so severe that it should be an eye for an eye. In a pure just, that's what should happen to somebody if they do that to somebody else. Okay, we're only human beings and we do it in money, but it was written that way to demonstrate the severity of someone who acts that way. Anyway. That's basically so. Ein mikra yotze midei pshuto. So how could you come along and tell me that this pasuk is talking about Torah, but on its surface it's talking about a sword, right? So Amar of Kahana, Karavina bar Tamni Sari. I was 18 years old. I was 18 years old. V'havi gemirin olei lekulhei to hashas, and I learned through the entire shas already. V'olahavi yadana, and I never knew the ein mikra yotze midei pshuto ad hashta. I never knew such a principle until now. My Kamashmalon, why did he tell us that? He told us that the Ligmar Inish Bahadur Lisbar, that a person should first learn and then reason. In other words, first learn through Shas, and then after that, then start doing reasons. So the Archa Sadikim, the classic Musar Sefer from 500 years ago, the author is unknown. Some people say it was written by a woman. Anyway, this Sefer says as follows. He's talking about, it's in the 27th chapter, the Shar HaTorah, and he says, quotes our Gemara, Vamrinan, Meikara Ligmar Inish Vahada Lizbar. V'chol zeh einam osanata. Nobody does that today. Nobody learns that way today. Ki kol echad rotze lilma tosvos v'chol chidushim v'chidushe chidushim. They just want to learn in depth and tosvos and chidushe chidushim. Kodem she'e the tzuras ha-Talmud. Before they even know the tzura of the Talmud. They're so interested in learning like that before they even know the tzuras ha-Talmud. In kein, eich yatzlichu. How are they going to be successful? Kivan she'ose lehepach ma'asha omruch ha-Chom ha-Talmud. They're doing the opposite of what the Gemara does, what the Gemara here says. And he goes on to say that it's just gonna cause you to be ruined and not to be successful. But there is a concept of learning be'iyun. As you know, we had in the other daftar, when you come to Shemayim, there are six questions they're gonna ask you. Besides whether you were kaveitim la'Torah, two out of the remaining six are, did you learn be'iyun? Right? Were you palpalta and hevanta dover, we talked dover. Two out of the six are learning be'iyun. But you see from here, an important principle, I'm sure Daf Yomi fans would approve of this, that there is a concept of learning through Shas, before you start to, so you have a handle on broad topics before you start learning in depth. Okay. Simen Zarus. So wait, one more thing. So the Rambam paskins that he paskins the 19th parak of Hilcha Shabbos. Kli mulchama ain't a yotzim behem b'Shabbos. Kli mulchama you're not allowed to wear on Shabbos. Dim yotza, and if you do wear them on Shabbos, so this is what you were saying before. Im ha'yukelim shayu derech malbush. If they're considered clothes, kigon, shiryon, like armor, vikova and a hat, and a helmet, the mikvayim, and the armor boots, shal raglayim, hareze potter. That's only also midravana. But v'im yatsa bekelim she'enon derech malbush, if they're not derech malbush, kigon, for example, romach, a spear, v'sayach, or a sword, v'keshes, or a bow, v'ala, or a mace, v'taris, or a sword, or a shield, hareze chayev, v'chayev midaraisa. So what is the Rambam saying? Based on the Gemara, that he's holding it's chayef to wear all these things, which implies that in the future they're not going to exist. Right? That's what we've been saying all along. That if you hold that they're not allowed to wear them on Shabbos, then they're not tachshitim, and in the future they're going to be turned into agricultural utensils. They're not going to be around. Right? But then in Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam says, he's talking about the future. Aval Yemos HaMashiach Olam Hazeh. It's going to be the same thing as Olam Hazeh, V'Olam Kimin Hago, Holech Elisha HaMalchus Tachzal Yisrael. Everything's going to be normal, except we're going to have our own kingdom, we're going to have our own nation. V'Kvar Omru Chachamim HaRishonim Ein Bein Olam Hazeh L'Yimos HaMashiach Elashiv HaMalchus Bolvad. There's no difference between the future and now, except for Shibud Malchus Bolvad. So the Lech HaMishnah says it's a stira. He holds that the weapons are not allowed to be worn on Shabbos because it's also a Midaraisa, which implies that in the future they're going to be gone. But he paskins like Shmuel, that in the future there's not going to be anything that's going to be different, except for the fact that we're going to have our own nation. So it's a stira. So the Lech HaMishnah answers that he only takes Shmuel halfway. He takes Shmuel halfway to the extent that life is going to be normal. But he says, but the Lech HaMishnah says, the Rambam must mean life is not going to be completely normal. There won't be war, there won't be hunger, there won't be any of these types of, there won't be, people won't have to kill themselves for parnasa. All that is going to change as well. Yes, we're going to have the same physical life that we always have. It's not going to be some spiritual thing that we can't fathom in the future. That's true. But it's going to be. But it's not going to be Shmuel's complete shita. There will still be, right? Obviously, the Rabbi holds there will not be war. There will not be hunger. There will not be those kinds of nisyonos, and we'll be able to live in a different peace. And that's how the Lech HaMishnah answers the stira. No. Right. It might be mutter completely. It might be.
No different than the helmet and the...
Right. It'll be no different than the helmet.
But it does say, the base of the mission.
Right.
It says
it'd be mutter completely. Well, right. I think it is mutter completely because Rashi says... Rashi doesn't say that. I think he holds it would be. I think he holds it would be. Okay. Simon Zarus. The word Zarus is going to be... all the different sheetahs that we're going to be having now, the different people who said the following items. Amar b'yirmi, Amar b'yilezer, Shnei Talmidei Chachamim, Tu Talmidei Chachamim, Hamachadadin Zeh L'Zeh B'Halacha, who go head to head with each other in Halacha, they sharpen each other in Halacha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matzliach Lehem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Matzliach for them. He grants them success. Shinemar, because it says, V'Hadarecha, and because of your learning, because of your glory, Tzalach, be successful. Al tikri havahadarecha el vachadodecha, because of your engaging in halacha. Below, oh, not only that, el sha'ol l'gdula, they're going to become great. Shenemar, because it says, salach, be successful, rechav, and ride on. Keep on going. Yachal afilu shalol l'shma, I would think even shalol l'shma, Talmud Lomer, al dvar emes, yachal al dvar emes. Only if you're doing it for the truth, only if you're doing it for the right reasons. Yachal im hegis daito, I might think even if somebody is haughty, Talmud Lomer, v'anava tzedek, and it's someone who's humble, meaning they're not haughty. V'imosin kein, and if someone acts that way, zochin l'torah, he b'zochin to the Torah, shenitna b'yamin, which was given with the right hand. Shenemar, like it says, v'toraska no ro'oz yiminecha. See the right hand. Rav Nachman by Yitzchak Omer, zochin l'dvarim shenemru b'yamina shel Torah. Yizochin to what is said about the right side of Torah. What does that mean? Amar Rav Bar of Shiloh of Amrila, Amar of Yosef Parchama, Amar of Sheshes, my dechziv, what does the pasuk commissionally mean when it says, Orech Yamin b'yamina, that if you learn Torah, you'll be zochet to Orech Yamin in your right hand, v'smola osher v'kavod, and a laugh will give you osher and kavod, wealth and kavod. So the Gemara says, Eli b'yamina, Orech Yamin ikka, osher v'kavod leka. What, if somebody engages in Torah, and they're only going to be zochet to Orech Yamin, but they're not going to be zochet to osher and kavod, why should that be? Ella, what it means is, l'maiminon ba, if you are in the rightness of Torah, and you're learning it for the appropriate reasons, or with the proper background, with the proper understanding, then orecham ikka, you're going to be gzocha to orech yamin, v'kolshkein osher v'kavod. Certainly osher, certainly wealth and kavod. L'mismailim ba, but if you learn Torah left-handedly, which Rashi says you learn it for the wrong reasons, or you learn it without proper dedication and proper time, then osher v'kavod ikka, you're still going to be entitled to wealth and kavod because you're learning Torah, but orach yamim leka, but you're not going to get orach yamim because you're lacking on some level. Amar of Yirya, Amar of Shimon ben Lakish, shnei talmidei chachamim, two talmidei chachamim, hanochin ze lo ze b'halacha, that are learning benachas with each other. They learn in calmness and in agreement with each other. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu makshiv lehem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is makshiv them. He's interested in them. Shenemar, oz nidbru yirei Hashem. Then the yirei Hashem will, the Gemara here is going to say that the word nidbru means nachas. They'll have nachas, those that are yirei Hashem. Ein dibur ela nachas. And dibur only means nachas. Shenemar, because it says, yadber amim tachtenu. That the nations of the world will be humbled before us. Yadber here means humbled. So you see, there's a nachas, a calmness, a humility. Mai uvloch hashvei shemo. And what does it mean? And those that think about his name, which is the end of that pasuk of Oz Nidburu. Amr of Ami, afilu chishev lasos mitzvah, venenas velo asa. If somebody has in mind, he has intentions, he's thinking about doing a mitzvah, but venenas, and he has some mishap, velo asa, and he wasn't able to do the mitzvah, ma'ala alav akasav ki'ilu asa. Hashem will treat it as if he did do it, because he thought about it. Amr Rabbi Chinana bar Idi, kol ha'osei mitzvah k'mamara. Whoever does a mitzvah like it's written, meaning to the full extent of the mitzvah, with the full intentions and with all the digdukim, ein mevasrin osa besuras roth. He will never hear bad news. Shenemar, because it says, shomer mitzvah lo yada davara. Someone who keeps the mitzvahs won't hear of anything bad. Amr of Asiv, Itam, Rav Chanina, afilo kadosh baruch hu goes egzera, even if Hashem already decreed the decree, hu mevatla, he can be mevatalit. Shenemar, because it says in Keheles, Ba'asher davar melech shilton, when the king issues the decree, mi yomer lo matase, who can tell him what to do? Meaning, who can change it? V'samachlein, it says right there, shomer mitzvah lo yada davar ra. The one who keeps the mitzvahs will not hear any bad. Meaning, the one who keeps the mitzvahs has the power to change the gzeros. Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, shnei talmidei chachamim hamakshivim ze lo ze b'halacha, two talmidei chachamim that are makshivim ze ze, they learn from each other and they try to understand what each one is saying. HaKadosh Baruch Hu shemei lekolim, Hashem listens to their voices. Shenemar, because it says, hayoshevez beganim, that they sit, they dwell in the garden, which Rashi says is the base of Medrash, chaveirim, makshivim lekolecha, that they're listening to each other's voices, hishmi eini, so I want to hear them too, Hashem says. V'im ein osim kein, and if you don't act that way, gormin l'shechina shem estulekas miYisrael. You cause the Shechina to depart from the Bnei Yisrael. Shenemar, because it says, Barach dodi v'dama. My beloved ran away, and he was silent. Amar v'abba, Amar v'shur min lakash. Shnei talmidei chachamim, two talmidei chachamim. Hamedagilim ze lo ze b'halacha. That they get people, they gather people to learn Torah with each other. Rashi says it's from the word degel, like the golem in the midbar. Right, to gather people, that they station people to learn. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ohavan, Hashem loves that. Shinemar v'diglu alai ahava. Right, those that are stationed with me, I love them. Omar Rava v'hu diadea tsurasa d'shmaita. It only applies if these people that are gathering, they know what they're talking about. They know how to learn. V'hu d'les b'hu rabba b'masa l'migmar b'nei. And there's no one else in the city that's greater than them who could be the one to gather them and to teach them Torah. Amar Rav Abba, Rav Shurim ben Lakish, Godel Hamalve Yosef min Ha'Otzei Tzedakah. Lending somebody money is better than giving tzedakah. Because if you lend him money, first of all, you don't embarrass the guy, because he's not getting a handout. And second of all, you're in a way, you're helping him, you're giving him more responsibility by knowing he has to pay it back. He'll try harder to make something of that money and get himself out of his situation. Umatel Bekis Yosef Mikulon. But if you set him up in business, Rashi explains, you become a partner with him. You give him an investment that he can get off his own 2 feet. That's the best of all. You're not just giving him a handout and forgetting about him, but you're giving him the opportunity that he can get out of the situation by himself. The Amar Rav Abba, Amar Rav Shimon ben Lakish, Im Talmud Chacham no came v'noter kinachash. If a Talmud Chacham is a jealous person or someone who bears a grudge like a snake, nevertheless chagro al masnecha. You should still attach yourself to him. Meaning, even though he has bad points, it's still better to be with him because you'll still learn from his good points. But im am ha'aretz hu chassid, if you have am ha'aretz, but he's a chassid, meaning he's am ha'aretz chassid, he does think b'chassidus, but he's am ha'aretz, then al tadu b'shchanusa, don't even live in the same neighborhood as him, because it's such a bad combo that you're just going to learn from him all the wrong things, and it's not going to get you any success at all. Amr of Kahana, Amr of Bishon ben Lakish. V'amri la, Amr of Asi, Amr of Rish Lakish. Amr of Bishon ben Lakish. V'amri la, Amr of Abba, Amr of Bishon ben Lakish. Hakal ha-magadal, kelev ra, besoch beso. Whoever raises a bad dog in the house, monea chesed mitoch beso. He prevents chesed from being done in his house. Why? Because no one's going to want to come there because they're afraid of the crazy dog. Shinema, because it says, lamas mireehu chesed. And the word lamas means dog. So a dog will prevent chesed. Shaken shablosh and yivanis, korin lekelev lamas. Because in the Greek language, a dog is called the lamas. So you see from here that a bad dog will prevent you from doing chesed. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Omar, af porek mimenu yira shemayim. It'll even cause somebody to remove from him the all of yira shemayim. Shinar, because it says, the yirath shaka yazov. And the yirav Hashem, he will lose. The Gemara now tells a story which emphasizes this point. There was once a woman, the Ayala Lahu Beso Lamefa. He went to a certain house to bake in that house. In other words, Rashi explains she rented out that oven. She didn't have an oven, so she rented the oven from a guy to come to his house and bake in his house, and then she kept the stuff. So she went to the house to bake, and Navach Ba Kalba, the dog was barking, and is Akar Valda. And she lost her baby. She was pregnant, and she lost the baby because she got frightened by the barking. So Amala Mari Debesa, the master of the house, the owner of the house where she was, said to her, "Lo tidchali, don't be afraid. Don't worry about it. Don't worry. Don't let the barking bother you. Deshakili nivei, deshakilin tufrei. I removed his teeth, and I removed his claws. So he's just barking. Nothing's gonna happen. Don't worry about it." So Amrale, so she said to him, Shekula tivusech, take your good deeds, take all those good deeds, Fishadya achizre, and throw them to the thorns, meaning kvar navalad, I already lost the baby. I already felt the miscarriage take place because I was frightened. See, telling me you took out the teeth, big deal. You have good intentions, but you can't carry them out when the dog's barking like that. Amr of Huna, my dichsiv, what does it mean in the pasuk? The pasuk says something very, very unusual. It says, "Smach bachor bial dusecha." Let a young man be happy in his youth. V'yitivcha, let him be happy. V'yitivcha libecha, let his heart be glad. Bibei b'churasecha, in his days of his youth. V'halach b'darche libecha, let him do whatever his heart desires. Right? U'b'mar einecha, whatever his eyes see, let him do it all. V'david, he should know. But let him know that he's going to come to judgment. So what does that pasuk mean? Let him do whatever he wants, but he should know that he's going to have to pay for it. So it's very strange. So the Gemara says, no. Ad kan divri yetahara. The first half of the pasuk is do whatever you want. That's the yetahara talking. But mikan ve'elech divri yetzer tov. And the rest of that, the end of the pasuk, but you should know that you're going to have to pay for it, that's the yetzer tov. Others say, Rish Lakish Amar, no. Ad kan divri Torah. The first half is talking about divri Torah. Meaning, follow your youth and learn Torah in your youth. And do whatever your heart desires. It's all talking about learning Torah. But mikan ve'elech l'maisim tovim. But you should know, Rashi might say this, right, v'da ki al kol eile, al kol masha lamadata, everything that you learnt, sof cholitin es hadin, you're gonna have to answer up imlo tekayim, if you didn't follow it, right? So learning just for learning's sake, that's very nice, but you're gonna have to, but the end of the pasuk says, you're gonna have to give a mishpat if you didn't act out on what you learnt and you didn't behave on based on what you learnt. Fine. So the Gemara had said, the Mishnah had said that a biris is tahora. We said before that this machlokas Rashi had said that the word tahora was only said incidentally, right? That a biris, incidentally, by the way, it's tahora because it's not really a kli; it's a kli to a kli. It just holds up a kli, so it doesn't have the status of a kli itself, and it's the garter that holds up the stockings, and that a woman can wear on Shabbos. So Amar of Yehuda, biris zu etz ada. A biris is a bracelet. So in the half mean of the Gemara thought that a biris is a bracelet. So Masav Rabbi Yosef, biris tahora for yotzim baba Shabbos. But the Mishnah said that a biris is tahora and you can wear such, and you can go out with it on Shabbos. V'ilu etzada, but a bracelet is tamehi. It's a bracelet is not something that is tahora. It's something that is tameh. Rashi says because we know all the laws of tumah of kalim from the Midyanim, from the battle of Midyan. And over there, the pasuk specifically mentions a bracelet. How could you tell me a bracelet can't become tamei? The pasuk there in Matos specifically says that a bracelet was one thing that became tamei. So Hakika Amar, this is what it means: biris tachas et ada omedes. It's a biris which is underneath the bracelet, meaning underneath the clothing, and it holds up the clothing. And as we said before, it's not. She's allowed to wear it on Shabbos because she's not going to take that off to show anybody. Yosef Ravin v'Rav Huna, Kamed Rav Yirmiya. Ravin and Rav Huna were sitting in front of Rav Yirmiya. The Yosef Rav Yirmiya of a Kamanam name, and Rav Yirmiya was sleeping. He was dozing. The Yosef Ravin v'Kamar. Ravin was sitting there, and he said, "Biris ba'achas. A biris is this garter, this utensil on one foot, on one leg." But kvalim bishtayim, the kvalim that the Mishnah said you're not allowed, that a woman's not allowed to wear, and it's tameya, could become tamei, that is on both legs. So amalei Rav Huna, no, elu ve'elu bishtayim. No, there's no difference. One leg, even the biris could be on both legs. But umatilin shalsheles beinehen. The difference between a biris, which is tahar, and a kvalim, which is tamei, is that the kavalim is you put a chain in between both garters, in between the legs, v'nasu kavalim, and that is the kavalim, and you create kavalim that way. So the Gemara says, so what is the Gemara saying? That there's no difference in mitzias between one leg or two legs. When they're on two legs, if you put a chain in between both, then it's going to become a kli, and then it's going to become tameh. So the Gemara says v'shalshela shabo mashvile mana. What, putting the chain there turns now it into a mana, into a kli, and now it can become tameh? There's no difference between the two of them. The only difference is the chain. So the chain changes the whole status of the, makes it into a kli, and now it's mekabel tumah? So the Gemara says, v'chi tema, and if you want to tell me, yes, kidder of Shmuel bar Nachmeni, like we had a few days ago, to Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, minayin lemashmiya kol, b'kli matchis, shehu tameh, how do we know that we had this by the bell? How do we know that when the bell has a clapper, and now that it can make noise, now just by the virtue of the fact that it can make noise, that brings it into something that can become tameh? Shenamar, because it said in the pasuk over there by the Midyanim, kol davar asher yavo ba'esh, any davar, anything that can be, you know, purged in fire. And we said, afilu dibur b'mashma, even something that makes noise. Right? We said dibur and clanging is the same thing. Even something that makes noise. So what are you telling me? That just because now I put a chain there, and then when the woman walks, it's going to clang and make noise. Now all of a sudden it becomes a kli? Bishlam ha'hasam. That all made sense by the bell. kaboyle lekala, because you made it into a voice. You made it into something that makes noise. Vika avid maisa, and it serves a purpose. It has a function. Hacha my maisa kavid. What function does that serve? Fine, so it makes noise. So what? What does putting the chain there serve? What kind of function is that? So the Gemara answers, no, hachanami ka'avad maisa. It does serve a function. Why? To Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishpacha Achas Haisa B'Yerushalayim. There was one family in Yerushalayim. Shahayu P'siso Sehen Gassos. The women would take very long steps when they walked. Fahayu B'sula Sehen Noshros. And their B'sulos would become lost. Somehow, they would take very long steps, and somehow their besulim would break. So they wouldn't be besulim anymore. Really, they were besulim, but they wouldn't have the simanim of besulim, because their long steps would ruin it. But so asu lehem kevalim, so they attached this chain in between their legs while they walked. Ve'tilu shalshelas b'nehem, they put on the kevalim on both legs. They put the chain in between the legs. Shelo yehiyu p'sisasei en gasos, so they shouldn't take such very long steps. Otherwise, the chain would restrain their long walking. And it would save their besulos from being lost. So you see here that it does serve a purpose. It does have a function. It does have a maitha connected to it. And therefore, it is makabel tuma. And as we said earlier, a woman cannot wear this on Shabbos because she might take it off because it's made out of gold, and she might take it off to show her friends. So we saw Bahu Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah woke up, Amalahu, and he said, Yasher, yeah, Yasher Goyach, you're right. V'chein Amar Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan said the same thing. Now that we said Rabbi Yochanan, we're going to mention another member of Rabbi Yochanan. Ki Aser of Dimi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Minayin La'arig Kol Shehu Shehu Tame. How do we know that a woven item, a woven article of clothes of any size, is Tame? Now we had said earlier, we've said this many times, that we said that the only time a beged can become tameh is if it's the size of 3 fingers by 3 fingers. So that is something that a poor person would use for a patch or for whatever, but smaller than that, no. So here the Gemara says, how do you know kol shehu is tameh? The answer is that was talking about when you had a larger beged and you ripped off a smaller piece. So if you rip off a smaller piece, it has to have the shear of 3 fingers by 3 fingers. Here we're talking about you created a beged from scratch. So if you created a beged from scratch, you're giving it chashivas from scratch. If you're giving it chashivas from scratch, you could even have a smaller shear. How do you know that? So the Gemara says, mitzitz. You learn it out of the tzitz. Why? The tzitz was very small. It was only, I think, 2 fingers. It was a tiny beged. And you see from the tzitz had chashivas, and the tzitz was makabel tuma. So you see from learn from the tzitz that any beged that you make from scratch can be makabel tuma. So Amalei Abaya says v'tzitz origu. The tzitz wasn't woven. The tzitz wasn't a woven beged, right? Vartan, we have a brayso that says tzitz kimin tas shel zav. The tzitz was a plate of gold. Yeah, it had strings on the end to tie it to the back of the kohen gadol's head. But it wasn't made out of woven material. It was made out of solid gold. V'rochav shtei etzbaos. It was 2 fingers thick. Umukof me'ozen la'ozen. It stretched from one ear to the other ear. The coast of a love, the base sheeten, and it was written on 2 lines, Yud Hei Lamala, Hashem's name on the top line, the Kadosh Lamed Lamata, and Kadosh Lamed on the bottom line. Right? It says it really was Hashem's full name. The Gemara doesn't want to spell out Hashem's full name, just as Yud Hei. Yud Hei, Hashem's name was on the top line, and the word Kodesh Lamed on the bottom line. So Rashi says that it was in the center. Hashem's name was in the center, and the Kodesh Lamed was right underneath it. Tosfos says, everyone agrees, well not everyone agrees, but Rashi and Tosfos agree that Hashem's name had to be on top because nothing can be on top of Hashem's name. But Tosfos says that if it was in the center, that it didn't read. You couldn't read it that way. So Tosfos says that the Kodesh Lamed was in the beginning of the second line and the Hashem was in the top of the end line. So when you read it, you had to read a little bit crooked, but you could read Kodesh Lashem. Anyway, what do you see from here? You see from here that it was made out of solid gold. It wasn't woven. The Amr of Elazar Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi says, Ani ro'isev b'ir Romi, I was once in the city of Rome, because of Kodesh Lashem b'shita achas, and it said Kodesh Lashem on 1 line. I saw it. I saw the tzitz. It was all written on 1 line. Anyway, so we see from here that, how could he say that you lured out the din of a beged becoming tameh? no matter how small. From the tzitz wasn't a beggar. It was a tashin. It was made out of gold. So the Gemara says, Ki sholok Rav Dimi l'Nahardai, when he came to Nahardai, sholoku lehu, devorim shamarti lochem tos heim biyadi. What I said was a mistake. You're right, it's a mistake. Baram, however, this is what I really meant to say. You're right, I'm wrong, because the tzitz is not woven. What I meant to say was, Kach amur mishlim Rav Yochanan minayin l'tachshid kol shehu shehu tamei. How do we know that any tachshid, any ornament, there's no shear for an ornament, no matter how small, that's mitzitz. That I learned out from the tzitz. Uminayin la'aru kol shekein shehu tamei. And what about, how do I know the din of a woven garment, no matter how small, if it's woven l'chatchil to be a garment? Mi'o beged. From the extra word o beged in the pasuk there by the shrotim, when it talks about the tumah, it says o beged o r. So from the extra word o, we learn it any size. So the Rambam, this whole topic about seeing that if you saw the tzitz in Rome and it was only one line, so how can the Gemara say that it's two lines, right? Well, no one disputes that he saw it. Everyone agrees he saw it. So if he saw the tzitz, he saw the tzitz. What? Right, it's not a question of edus. No one's saying he lied. He said, this is what I saw. I was there. I was in the Vatican and I saw it. So why? What's the two lines? So the Rambam says something very interesting. He says that keitzad ma'is the tzitz. What did the tzitz look like? So he says, oh, say tash shel zav. It was made out of a plate of gold. Rochav shtei etzbos. It was two fingers long. Umakev mi'ozen la'ozen. It stretched from ear to ear. The kosev of love shnei shitin, two lines. Kodesh l'Hashem. Kodesh l'Hashem on two lines. Kodesh m'mala. The Kodesh Mumata and Hashem Mumaila. Fine. The Hashem's on top and the Kodesh Lamed on the bottom. And then he says, Im Kasvu Beshita Achas Kosher. But if it's written on one line, it's also kosher. It's also kosher. Really, it should be on two, but if it's on one, it's good. The Upa'amayim, and sometimes, Upa'amim, and sometimes, Kasvu Hu Shita Achas. They didn't just have one sitz in history. They must have had a few. And sometimes it was written on one line. And the Kesef Mishnah says, that's what he saw in Rome. So the Rambam has to acknowledge that he saw it. So the Kesef Mishnah says, that's why the Rambam says this. That if and sometimes it was on one line, right? He was in Rome and he saw it. That might have been, that he says, it's only Bidiyevet. Bidiyevet, it should have been on two lines. I don't know why they would have done that Bidiyevet, but so what he saw in Rome is still Kahalacha. Anyway, fine. So just we'll get to the two dots. Tana Rabbanan, Arig Kol Shehu Tameh. Right, we said this already. That a woven garment made out of no matter how small is Tameh. V'tachshid Kol Shehu Tameh. And now the Gemara says a line which we're going to discuss tomorrow. Arig V'tachshid Kol Shehu is also Tameh. Even if it's combined, it's an Arig and a Tachshid combined Kol Shehu. That's also Tameh. Now this is the line. Musaf Sak Al Habeged. A sack which is made out of goat hair has more tumah than a regular beged, shetame mishum arig, which is because it becomes tameh because of weaving. And that's tomorrow's Amud Aleph, halfway down, what that line means. Now Amar Rava, arig kol shehu tameh mi'o beged. How do we know that an arig that's kol shehu, or rather a woven garment, no matter how small, is tameh from o beged, and tachshit kol shehu tameh mitzitz. That we said already, right? Tachshit, no matter how small, from the tzitz. Arig v'tachshit kol shehu tameh. How do we know that if it's a combined garment, a combined tachshit of gold and material, that no matter how small, it's going to be tameh? How do you know that? That's mikol kli maisa. It says by the maisa of minyanim, but what became tameh? Any kli maisa. So it doesn't make a difference. Any kli maisa is going to become tameh. So you see that any kli maisa, even if it's combined material, it's also going to be tameh. So the Gemara asks, Amalei ahu mi derabana l'rava, hahu b'midyan ksiv. That Gemara, that pasuk, is talking about tameh meis. So by tameh meis, then it can come into the category of being mekabel tumah. But what about tameh sheretz? How do we know that would also such a garment made out of material and metal together can also become tameh for tameh sheretz? Amalei gomar kli mehasam. We have gzeira shava kli from kli by the minyanim and kli by the shrotim. We have gzeira shava that even something that's that size, made out of two different materials, can also become tameh legabi tameh sheretz. Amen.